I may be down, but I'm not out. You know, this podcast is interesting because we have so many voices of people who are resilient. So many people who have gone through a season where it's difficult and trying to figure out what's next. Today, we have a conversation with Dr. Michael Schaefer of G6 Allies. And his story is unique, but it's also common and maybe a little bit too common. After coming out of ministry and really being blindsided, not only blindsided, but the moving company took all of the stuff out of his church office and then left it on his driveway. We just realized more and more that we've got to do this better. And you would not believe how many people we have in the queue to do more and more podcasts. Unfortunately, there's too many stories like this. And what I love about Michael and his ministry, G6 is taken from Galatians 6. And just a good reminder for us, it says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted." And in verse 2, it says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." I think this is a fantastic conversation. I was encouraged by it, and it's so good to hear the work that he's doing and the redemption in his story and how he is living that out in the kingdom and serving others. Have a listen. This is Michael Schaefer on the Life After Ministry podcast. Hey, well, Dr. Michael Schaefer, welcome to the Life After Ministry podcast.
Hey, Matt, thank you so much for having me. It's a joy to be here.
Yeah, and you are in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yes, sir.
And what's the weather like there today?
It's supposed to be up in the 80s today.
80s. So 80s. I would kill for the 80s. It's 32 here today.
Oh, no. God has a sense of humor. I'm a cold weather person. I like the colder, the better. And I wound up in what I sometimes think is one of the hottest places on earth, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But yeah, so.
Oh, congratulations on that. I'm a warm weather person, and somehow I'm in the cold, but that's okay. We want to have a conversation today. Not only are you leading a ministry, a church ministry, but there's also this other thing that comes alongside it, and right. It's fascinating. But I want to just jump in a little bit with your pastoral ministry story. What got you? Like, what was the call into ministry like? How did you know, like, I'm going to be a pastor?
Yeah. I was 16 years old and had just recently, within the last year or so, had given my life to Christ and was at summer camp, as most teenagers do. Went to our church student camp, and it was just at that camp that I felt this just unmistakable calling to surrender my life to whatever direction God would have me go. And I had no idea what that might look like or what that could entail, whether that was full-time pastoring or mission work or whatever it may be. I had no idea, as you know, most of us don't at that age know what life's going to look like. But the one thing that was firmly planted in my head was, God, you have redeemed me. You have given me the breath that's in my lungs. Why shouldn't I give my entire life to you? So use me however you will. And that was many, many years ago. And life has been an interesting journey along the way in various pastoral capacities, large churches, small churches, parachurch ministry, academics, all of that kind of stuff. And so I continue to be molded into whatever he wants me to be for whatever season I'm in.
Yeah. And so we talked, there's a lot of different kinds of transitions and ways. And so you've even had some of those transitions that have taken place from one ministry to another. Right. But even just the exit of coming out of vocational ministry, sometimes it's something that pastors are choosing for themselves. It could be burnout. Mm-hmm. It could be moral failure. There's all these types of things. So that's something that we happen to it. And then there's sometimes where it happens to us. And your story is something that happened to you in the process. What was the instigating factor that got you out of full-time vocational ministry?
Well, first, I am still in full-time ministry, but it does look different than it did.
Good. And yeah, we'll get into that for
semantics
sure.
around what ministry means. But yeah, so I was working at a church, full-time campus pastor at a large multi-site church, and this church hired an individual that I had had a background with, and I conveyed privately to my bosses that, hey, I got some real concerns here. There's some issues, not just with ministry philosophy, track record, but also, you know, some real safety concerns with this person. And, and that translated into, me being let go for no reason whatsoever. Just, hey, you know, you're not a good fit here, and you're out the door. And, I mean, it was just completely blindsiding to my family. So my wife and I, and then we have a daughter who at the time was in the eighth grade. Ooh. And so that was just a really difficult blow to take, that you didn't expect it. We didn't know what to do. And it was one of those situations where, you know, there was no severance offered. It was just, you're out the door. And, so we didn't really know what to do with that and how we were going to process that and what we wanted to go, where we wanted to go from there.
What did it feel like to be blindsided? If you're going to, like, was it anger? Was it sadness? Like, what was the, like, initial, and then, like, what does that settle into?
It was initially shock, I think. I don't know that there was really sadness with it necessarily. There was quite a bit of anger with it, but that was all. Most of that anger was a result of kind of the way that my family was treated in this process. So, you know, this had been from my daughter's life from like fourth grade to eighth grade. Was in this church and with this group, and then all of a sudden it's like we're excommunicated, and so here's my teenage daughter who now her friends are gone, her student pastor won't talk to her anymore. That built up quite a bit of anger in how can you do this to a family, and the job itself wasn't a big source of pain or frustration for me as much as it was the way our family was treated. And it's a relatively, the part of Tulsa we're in is a relatively small town. And there are still to this day, 5+ years later, we bump into people who I used to pastor, who I shepherded and walked through sickness or marital troubles or whatever, you know, you do as a pastor. And to this day, they won't even say hello to you when you pass them in the grocery store. So that's always kind of hard to stomach and figure out how to navigate.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that it's because they don't know what to say? Do you think that they're angry at you because of maybe how the message came out? It is something we talk about and find a lot, is that the hardest part is moving from being known in a large community to really feeling like this absence, this total isolation, to like there's nothing, and it feels like you are radioactive and everybody now needs to stay away. But what do you think is the source of some of that distance?
I think as a general rule, it's probably just awkwardness. The people don't really know what to say or what to do.
Yeah.
In our specific case, and I think in a lot of cases like this where there's an unjust termination and they try to keep it hush hush, but there's still, you know, rumors still spread. Right. And so there's probably some misinformation about us and you know, why we were let go. And so they just want to disassociate from that altogether, or they just, hey, there was some bad blood somewhere and I just am going to wash my hands. I just want to stay away from it altogether. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a little bit of all of that in it.
Yeah. And it was not only that you were blindsided by the moment of you're being let go, But even in the moment of what some of that looks like, you weren't able to pack up your office. Your office was packed up for you.
Right. Yeah. I was not able to go pack up my things. And in fact, they hired a moving company and packed it all up and literally just dumped it all in my driveway. And told us we were never allowed to step foot back on a church campus ever again.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing.
So it was just one of those things. So, I mean, there is some anger and shock and sadness and all that, but you also, you want to see vindication too. You want God to come to your aid in these moments and reveal the whole story about what is happening, because the church from their stages was saying a very different story. And, you know, there are lies in that and you want to see that vindicated. But that's not for us to decide. It would be a very, the world would end very shortly if all of us got to decide when vindication happened to somebody who had wronged us, right?
That's right.
So, but yeah, so there's a lot of that tied into that. But right.
Yeah, that's where we start.
We choose not to sit and sulk in those things.
Yeah, we start to pray for that, like, Sons of Korah moment where the earth opens up and
exactly.
People are swallowed yes. whole, or bring out the bears and yeah. So yeah, it's hard to stay pure in thought. And how do you love people who just wronged you and hurt in a very significant way? So that's what we call day zero, right? That's like your last day
right.
in ministry. How do you like wake up the next morning? It's day one of new life and doesn't necessarily feel like full of life. How do you piece
right.
together and put together new life after this?
For us, it really was a matter of following the Lord's promptings in this. There were two things that continually came to my mind from that next day after all this had happened. I wake up and first thing on my mind is Galatians 6:2, where Paul says to carry one another's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. And like, I have no idea why that verse is on my mind, but it is. And I just kept replaying that verse in my head over and over and over again. Mm. And then the other thing that was always in front of me was a quote by A.W. Tozer, when he said that it's doubtful God will ever use someone greatly whom he has not first hurt deeply. And those two things were just constantly there. And I'm like, if that's what I'm constantly thinking, there's something God is trying to teach me and show me in this. And so that was really kind of where we began from, I guess, day zero plus one was thinking about what it is that God is using. Yes, we've been hurt deeply. So how is God going to use this? And how is God going to orchestrate our lives from this moment forward in a way that serves his kingdom, in a way that we can remain faithful to that calling from, 20 plus years earlier as a high school student who said, my life is yours, use it how you will. What does that look like? And so that was really kind of what prompted where we are today.
And I would say that you're probably way holier than I am, because I'd start pulling out some of the Psalms that, Lord, many are my foes.
Trample my enemies.
There you go. Let's pull up some of those verses.
No, there was definitely some of that too.
Okay. Okay, good.
I'm giving you the highlight reel, not the darker moments. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I feel a little bit better. Yeah. So you start to do this. Are you thinking like, all right, well, I'm just going to find another church job. I'm just going to, I'll do a nonprofit. Like what was the game plan and strategy? You have a couple of things that the Lord is telling you in this, but the temptation, I'm just going to, work at Starbucks, or I'm going to go get a job where I can actually make some real cash. Like, what does that look like? How do you start to figure out and piece that together?
So we did not want to do another church job at this time. It was, we weren't writing it off entirely, saying, never again, mm-hmm. but we were saying definitely not right now.
And what's the motivating factor for you in that? Is like, we've been hurt by the church and we don't want to do that again?
Yeah, it was a recognition that as I could not, and it was kind of an integrity move, I guess, because I could not in good conscience jump back into shepherding another group of people while I'm trying to process the wounds and the pain that I was healing. That wouldn't have been fair to that group of people.
Yeah.
And so I was like, not saying never again will I pastor, but I don't think right now is the best time. I need to go through some healing. My family needs to go through some healing. We got to figure out the immediate, how we're going to solve the immediate needs of providing for our family and not getting kicked out of our house. Then we can focus on maybe shepherding another group of people.
Yeah.
And so within that, as we're thinking about Galatians 6 and how God's going to use this wound that he's allowed us to experience, we've been in ministry long enough and we've worked with enough pastors to know that pastors carry the burdens of people day in and day out, and it's exhausting and it's overwhelming, and the stress of it is sometimes too much. And many, many pastors don't have someone there to carry that burden for them, because they can't talk to their congregation members about it, because usually them that are the burden. If they're in a larger church where there's multiple staff members, it's not healthy to go talk to other staff members, because that just breeds bad culture and you know, backdoor conversations and that kind of stuff. So you don't want that. So we just tend to bottle it up and not talk about it at all, which, as we've learned more about EQ and how our bodies are wired, that's super, not a good thing either.
Super healthy, right? Just bottle it all up and deal with it later.
And so eventually it's like, I mean, there has to be a release valve somewhere.
Yep.
And so if you don't process it in the right ways, eventually it's going to find its way out, whether it's through addiction, substance abuse, whatever it is. There's all kinds of reasons why it can come out. And those are career ending for a pastor.
Yep.
And so we wanted to help address that problem and be there to help support ministry families who need a safe place to go, need a place to process what they're dealing with in ministry with someone else who understands but is removed from their situation enough that they can provide a little objectivity to it.
So how does that begin? You know, actually, I have that question. That question is going to come. But I think even more importantly is that there's worry in all of this. There's a little bit of panic of, you know, financial runway. How am I going to pay the bills? Yep. How did God meet you in those times and places?
That was an incredible story. That we when we didn't know what was going to happen, how we were going to pay for things, there were numerous times that our doorbell would ring. I'd go open the door. There's nobody there, but there's an envelope of cash sitting on the porch. We had people that knew us that wanted to support this ministry to pastors and their families. Before we even had our nonprofit status, said, "I don't care about the tax write-off. You know, here's $2,000. Wow. Use this to provide for your family to get this thing off the ground," and that kind of stuff. So God continually provided for us in that way, and we had been financially responsible and had some savings to dip into, and had some investment things that we could pull from as well, and so. God was faithful to see us through this transition financially, to allow us to focus on formulating this ministry in this organization. Because if those things had not happened, yeah, I would have had to go get a job at Home Depot or something like that, and just to get some money coming in which case I would not have had the time to focus on getting these things off the ground.
So tell me about G6 Allies.
Yeah, so for G6 Allies, you know, we know that being a pastor or a ministry leader, that you're going to face a lot of tough times of isolation, burnout, overwhelming stress, and as pastors ourselves, we know those feelings all too well, right? And we want to help other pastors manage ministry life well before it's too late. So we offer this three-pronged preventative approach to building resilient Christian leaders. And that's our ultimate goal, is to build resilient Christian leaders. And the three prongs are personal care, team development, and empowered networking. And I can come back and explain what any of those three mean. But ultimately, we are a community where church leaders find not only support and friendship within ministry, but also paths to growing personally and professionally. So imagine a place where the unique challenges of ministry and of church leadership are understood, they're shared, where burdens are lifted together. And we want to promote balanced well-being so that church leaders are healthy across all 8 interconnected aspects of life. Because that's so critical to pastoral health and the health of the church, right? Yeah. And so that's ultimately who we are and what we're about.
Now, there is even a page on G6 Allies that is addressed to pastors' wives. And it's, I love how you say it. It says, hard work, no pay, emotionally draining, and little recognition. Tell us what we need to know. And
who wants to sign up for that job description?
That's right. I mean, it's also mothering, I think, probably in a lot of ways.
But, yes, exactly.
How does that work, and how do you help come alongside the pastor's wives?
Yeah, so we have a real heart for pastors' wives, and it is most of the time one of the most underappreciated roles in the local church, that pastors' wives are, you know, the wife of the senior pastor is expected to be at everything. She's expected to play the piano and lead the preschool ministry and orchestrate the potluck dinners and do all of these things. And she's not allowed to have a life outside of any of that because, you know, when they hired the pastor, they hired a package deal. And sometimes that is fitting, but it's also a situation where we've designed these boxes that the pastor's wife ought to fit in. And it can be incredibly stressful and lonely and isolating for them. And so my wife, who this aspect of the ministry is her baby, she does this. It's called Vibrant Ministry, where she helps pastor's wives. She's a biblical counselor by training. And so she spends most of her time working with the wife of a pastor who needs someone to process what they're dealing with, process the struggles and challenges of pastoral ministry in that capacity. And so she is always talking to a different pastor's wife somewhere around the country, usually over text. Even late at night, she'll be texting pastor's wives and helping them process the challenges that they're seeing and facing. And then we have a little appreciation gift that anybody can purchase for their pastor's wife, just as a thank you. We see you. We recognize you. We appreciate what you do. And it's a box full of goodies and things, most of which are handmade by pastor's wives that we've connected with. And it's just a unique and interesting way to unite and connect pastor's wives from around the country.
So good. So needed as well. So you're running G6 Allies, and you're really out of your own pain and struggle and road that you've gone on, you're able to walk alongside people who are in that similar space. So, you know, that we have a lot of crossover and alignment that we're really trying to give back and sow into and find those points of redemption in our own stories, right? Making sense of our own struggles. And I think it's really healthy. It's, Viktor Frankl talks about that in Man's Search for Meaning. Is one of the things is we have to make sense of suffering that we've been through in our life. And it's a really good place to do that. But alongside G6 Allies, somehow you found yourself back into leading a community that we might call a church.
That's right.
How did that happen? It sounds like you got suckered into it. Is that right?
I did, more or less. Yes, I got suckered into it, and it was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. But so during all of this, that transition out in that previous church, as I'm trying to start this G6 Allies ministry, we had a couple of people that from our previous church who came to us and supported us, said, "We love you guys. We're here for you. Whatever you need, but we really think you should keep being our pastor." And I told him how appreciative I was of that. And that's an honor, but again, we're not in a position to shepherd anybody. We need some space. We need to heal and we need to focus on this ministry. And they said, "Well, that's okay. We love this ministry. Can we come pray with you over this ministry as you guys get your start with that?" And I said, "Absolutely." So they, on a Sunday afternoon, they came to our house and prayed with us and said, "Well, we are going to keep praying for this ministry, but we still want you to be our pastor. is it okay if we come back next Sunday and pray with you again? And I'm a little dense, so I said yes, not realizing exactly what they were doing. Yeah. And then the next week they came back, there was a handful more couples.
The first one was okay. Let them come over right. the first time, but it was the second one that really got you in trouble.
Yes, exactly. And so then there were a few more couples the next time. And then they all said the same thing. We want you to be our pastor. And I said, no, thank you. And they said, well, okay, can we come back next Sunday and pray with you again? And I said, sure. And then all of a sudden there's like 30 people on a Sunday afternoon in my living room asking me to be their pastor and telling me, you know, if you're not going to be our pastor, we're just going to quit church altogether. And my pastor's heart says, no, that's not the right response either. So let's just meet consistently for the next 90 days and just talk about what church should look like, how we can heal. And then I'll help all of us find a church and in our local community, because all of us need to be a part of a body of believers. And they said, okay, well, that's great. Let's do that. But we're also going to sing a couple songs too next time we meet. It very much was church. So we started our church service and about 6 weeks into that or so, I recognized, okay, this group of people is healing. I'm healing. They're helping me heal. This is where God has placed us and God wants me to shepherd this group of people. And so that was a little over 5 years ago. So we have G6 Church along with G6 Allies. So we're currently doing both components of that.
Well, Lord bless you for doing that. I've had people since my exit out of vocational ministry and have said, so when are you going to start a church? And I said, look, I like you guys right now. And you like me right now. And if we do this,
keep it that way.
Yeah. Like if I start a church, nobody's going to like anybody anymore. Let's just continue to be friends now.
Yeah. Well, it's been a very interesting, a very interesting dynamic between the two components because our church family loves this ministry. We pray over pastors that we work with every single Sunday as part of our service. It's a huge component of our DNA as a church. But then on the Allies side of things as well, oftentimes as we're working with pastors, that is one of the biggest inroads and helping other pastors become more vulnerable in their conversations with us is them seeing, oh, you're a pastor too.
Yeah.
And not just you used to be a pastor, but you currently are. You're in the trenches with me right now. And that allows those pastors to be more vulnerable. So both of these components of what we're doing feed into each other. And so it's a really, really powerful thing.
Well, Michael, I love what you're doing. I love the heart with which you're doing it. And I imagine that being on this side of things, that there's probably a wholeness, and you can look back on a painful situation and say that God was still with me and in the midst of this, and really kind of changed the trajectory of your life, and what was meant for evil, God has there's a redemption in all of this that probably feels very fulfilling. And I said it earlier, and I should be the one that we say this all the time. Is that really we might be called out of a church position, but we're not ever really called out of ministry. My guess is, I mean, you're still very much in church, but there is life after ministry in all of this. Have you found that God has you in a good place?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's ministry after ministry. Mm-hmm. As well, right? Ministry is not defined by who signs your paycheck. Your pastoral role might be defined that way, that you get a paycheck from a church, and so you're a pastor on that team. Mm-hmm. But ministry happens no matter what field of vocation that you are in, and that's what Ephesians 4 tells us, right? That there are some who are pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets, and they are equippers, and so they get paid to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So it's the saints who are doing ministry, and we're thrilled to be able to help equip the equippers and carry the burdens of the burden bearers in this ministry that we get to do.
It's amazing. I love it. If somebody wants to connect with you and the work that you're doing with G6 Allies, what does that look like?
Yeah, so you can visit g6allies.com. And we're on all of the social media platforms as well. But we would love to connect with you as an individual pastor or work with your church for, you know, equipping your staff team. We do the pastoral care, team development, network other pastors together. G6allies.com is a great place to connect with us and learn more about how we can serve you.
And do I have to be in a place where I'm feeling the struggle and everything's falling apart? Is this preventative? What kind of person are you looking for?
We are very proactive in that. So we do deal with some of those who are falling apart, but there's also great ministries out there like Pastoral Transitions that are dealing with that. So a lot of what we tend to focus on is that more preventative side of things where we help pastors stay healthy, get healthy, focus on becoming resilient leaders so that they can lead their church as well. So we do pastoral coaching and pastoral care. We also help you develop your leaders and invest in your staff team around you, build healthy culture in your church, develop your volunteer teams. We have a lot of cohorts for connecting pastors in different stages of life and focusing on different aspects of life, ranging from church growth to financial investing to learning how to do student ministry well to physical health. We cover the spectrum to help you grow and develop in the areas that are most important to you right now. So yeah, we connect with pastors and church leaders at various stages of where they are in life.
Well, Michael Schaefer, thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing your ministry and what God has done. This is less a Michael story and more a God story, and thankful Absolutely. For the work that you're doing on behalf of the kingdom.
Thank you, Matt. Really appreciate the time.
Well, Michael, thank you for the conversation. Michael, again, is with G6 Allies, and it's g6allies.com. And really, he understands it. He gets it that church leaders and their families are often overwhelmed. Ministry can be brutal. The demands of ministry can be brutal. And so G6 Allies are really there to be in your corner, and they're offering tools to churches to help with balance and growth in not just your ministry life, but every area of your life. And we just want to point you that way. If you are listening and you're considering, I don't know anymore if I have what it takes, if I want to keep doing this, I would encourage you to stop and grab a conversation with Michael. And if you find yourself in a place that you've already come out of ministry and you're in a place of licking your wounds a little bit and trying to figure out, what am I going to do now? And you need some help, I encourage you to book a call with us. You can go to our website, which is pastoraltransitions.com, and you can hit the contact button there. And we would love to have a conversation and see where we might be able to help. And if you are in a place where you want to be able to give to a pastor that is on the struggle bus and trying to figure out how are they going to make it to the next step of their life, trying to discern what that looks like, you can also make a donation on our page and we'll be able to provide support for the many, many pastors that are coming our way. So thank you for listening. And until we talk next time, may you be blessed. Shalom.